Welcome to We're Libertarians Daily. I am Chris Spangle. I am the host of We're Libertarians, the founder of this network, and the dear leader to all of my people, where we in this kingdom have mandatory freedom. And one of my favorite subjects is here, Jason Doolittle. He is a $100 a month contributor, so he is highly exalted in the Emperor's Circle of our Patreon, which you can join at WeAreLibertarians.com. And Jason's also one heck of a guy, and you know, he had a recent success in his hometown with lobbying. So, Jason, did you ever think that you'd become a lobbyist, a dirty, evil lobbyist?
Oh, I am libertarian establishment now.
You're a lino.
Yeah, there you go. No, I never really expected that I would much get involved in politics in any real capacity. I mean, everybody, I guess, thinks about like, what would I do if I were in government? But, you know, as far as lobbying, no, never.
Right. You think, oh, I'll run for office. But you actually had a great experience with something that we talked a little bit about. And so you said, hey, I'd love to tell people about this. And I think that this is something that was probably easier than you thought it might be. And So let's start with, where do you live and what was the issue?
Okay. So I live in a suburb of Fort Worth in Texas. It has a kind of an agricultural background, like a lot of those outlying cities. Well, actually, most cities in Texas have sort of an agriculture background just from the state. But Fort Worth is the, you know, cow town. And my hometown is very much has an agricultural background. A lot of horse people live out there. There's a lot of farms, hobby farms and that sort of thing. And when my wife and I moved into the area, we are moving from Minneapolis, where this is going to sound so silly, but chickens are legal in Minneapolis. And we kind of talked about getting some chickens before we moved. And she really wanted to have some chickens, some backyard chickens. And we moved to this town, and they weren't allowed, which was very surprising to us given the background of the city. And, you know, there's a lot, I mean, it's Texas. There's a lot of space. It's not like we were all on top of each other like we were in Minneapolis. I mean, Minneapolis allowed chickens. Fort Worth allows chickens. A lot of these other big cities allow backyard chickens, but this suburb, and actually surprisingly, as I got into this, a surprising number of suburbs don't allow backyard chickens. So, fast forward a year or two.
Let me stop you there and let me ask, like, how did you Google it? Like, what was the, you're like, oh, wait, before we go to the local farm store and buy some chickens, we better see if the crown allows this sort of thing. Is that how'd you find out?
So what happened, my wife, she had gone to the feed store, and they were selling, there was a chicken coop that was on sale, that, and she went there and she bought it. She was very excited, and she brought it home, and I was going to start putting it together. And I don't know why she decided she was going to check on, like, I think she wanted to see how many were permitted. Like, we just both assumed that, you know, of course this is okay. Why would it not be okay? And she went to check, you know, can I only have six or four, or what's the limit? And, she was heartbroken. They didn't allow chickens.
That's like, yeah, so yeah, I like that you're like, of course we can have chickens, but the freedom is probably limited. Like,
yeah, no, that's so true. I mean, it is. It does sound silly, but I mean, that's just what we live in. Every aspect, I'm just used to and conditioned, like probably most of us, that, you know, yeah, I can do what I want within this box.
Right. Yeah. I mean, once you start getting into like these minor little things, that's when you start to go, oh, and I think that really is what kind of turns a lot of people towards looking into libertarianism. It's not like the federal deficit or even the wars or some of those bigger issues. It's those little like quit roughing me up, get out of my face type policies from their local, you know, the smoking ban goes into effect and puts their business out of business, or their property tax bill goes up, or they're like, why can't I have chickens?
Little inconveniences.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so What did you, when you found out you couldn't have chickens, what was your reaction then?
Well, my reaction was, are you sure? I mean, it seems so ridiculous that it would be banned, you know? So sure enough, you know, I found out that that was the case. And so, we started talking to neighbors, and one of the neighbors told us that there was a group that was trying to get together. And so my wife got involved with a few other people, and one of them, she was very excited. There was a group that was going to try to push forward a law onto the city council, like, so it would get voted on. But then the city council decided to take it up as an ordinance, as opposed to like something that was brought before the voters of the city. They decided to bring it up as an ordinance, and we found out about this, and we were very excited, and we decided I've never been able to go to a single city council meeting. They are always at the worst possible time for me to attend. I mean, I think an average person would be able to attend, but because they're on Tuesdays at like 6:30 or 7, but I never was able to attend. So neither of us went to kind of like speak on behalf of the chickens. But then it failed. They voted it down. In my town, there are four city council members and then the mayor, and they make up those that, that vote on this. And it was a 3-2, a defeat. So,
let me ask you, like, how many citizens roughly in your town?
It's about, probably 23,000 people.
So we're not talking about an enormous amount of people here. We're talking, you know, especially with four councilors, five?
Four city councilors and the mayor. That's okay. Who voted on it.
Gotcha. Okay. So then they vote it down, and like at that point you go, there's citizens standing up going, hey, this is kind of ridiculous. What were the arguments? Why did they say that they voted this down?
Well, so mostly it was just, there were some concerns about noise, and there were concerns about, cleanliness and hygiene so the two people who were the two city council members who were just dead set against it. They did that whole thing with like, well, I've got chickens, or I grew up with chickens, and it's just something that doesn't belong in our town. And, I emailed everybody on the city council and on those who voted for it. I thanked them for voting for it. And I asked them, you know, what can I do how can I help move this forward? And then for the three that voted against, when I emailed them, and I said, hey, you know, like these, and I listed out my reasons for wanting to have chickens, and explaining there are a lot of myths around chickens about like noise and stuff and cleanliness and that sort of thing. And there's not, you know, so I listed out all these things, and then I said, hey, you know, but I would like to speak to you more about it. And can we meet? And, because let me back up a step. My wife was, I mean, she was really heartbroken over this. And like I say, I know it sounds a little silly because it is kind of a small thing, but she was really, really broken up about it. Now,
people are usually very upset when they can't live their lives as they see fit. Like it really is, yeah. It doesn't matter if it's a small thing. It's somebody using force telling you that you're not allowed to do on your property what you see as best for you and your property. Like it is an upsetting thing when you're like, this small quality of life thing isn't allowed. And mm-hmm. somebody's telling me it's like, they're going to arrest me if I have four, you know, two chickens in my, yeah. So I get it. Can I ask before you go back to your wife, the makeup of the mayor and the four city councilors, their party affiliation, and what party, who was a four and who was a
six? Sure, they're all Republican. I mean, okay. Again, I'm in small town Texas, you know, right. I'm pretty sure they were all Republican. In fact, I don't even know if they had their party affiliation listed, but I would not be surprised if they were all Republican.
And that's what you see in these small towns. And it's always one party rule, but they fight amongst themselves on these issues.
Right.
And the Republicans who claim, oh, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because I want limited government. And then they're the city county councilor and they're, you know, voting for every major transportation project. Or when I was executive director of Indiana, it was every single town that you'd go to, and the party, I would go and affiliate counties, and every time somebody wanted to start an affiliate, it was because the local Republicans, usually in Indiana, had $100 million project that the county was undertaking, and everybody was pissed about it. And so there is, it's very prolific. So, all right, so you going back, your wife is very upset.
Yes, she's very upset. And you know, I chickens, I could take it or leave it. You know, I can get my eggs at the grocery store or not. That doesn't really bother me. But my wife cares about this immensely, which means that I care about it immensely. Okay.
I've been married. So, I know. Yes.
Yeah. So again, I said, when I saw the news and I knew my wife was going to be broken up about it. So that's when at that point I got keenly involved, very interested, and I decided something. I don't know what I can do, but I'm going to do something. Okay,
right.
And so that's when the email started. Fortunately, for my town, like getting the email addresses of the city councilors was very easy. I mean, they're all listed on the website as well as phone numbers where I could reach them. I heard back from everybody. Like everybody emailed me back. Two of the three who voted against were very, they weren't very receptive to anything. Like they kind of listed out their reasons for why they did what they did. I replied and said, hey, you know, I'd really like to talk to you about this in person. Like, can we meet for lunch or can we, can we get together and talk in person? And, I didn't hear back from two of them, but the third one, who was widely considered in the town to be the swing vote, he did say, yeah, you know, let's get together. And we agreed to meet at a local restaurant. And we sat down with him. And my youngest son came with us because of just the time of the day.
That's a great angle. Bring the cute little kid. Bring the cute little kid.
I'll tell you, because this, it was really kind of funny because we were sitting eating lunch. And we'd been chatting and talking for probably 30 or 40 minutes. And we had told our son, like, hey, you know, we're going to go talk to this man about chickens. And we're hoping he's going to help us to have chickens. And just really out of the blue, and I swear, well, this was not rehearsed, my youngest, he says, hey, sir, and this gentleman who's, you know, my son, he's cute. He's a lot of fun. So he said, yes, what, you know, how, what can I do for you? And he said, is it okay if we have chickens? And so, I mean, like, you know, the poor guy, and I was like, oh, Russell, that's not fair. We can't ask him that. That's not fair. It's not up to him alone, you know? And the poor guy, he was like, oh yes, of course you can have chickens. I'll give you anything you want. I'm a grandfather. I can promise anything, you know? It was really fun. It was a good experience. We had a really nice lunch with them. We sat down, we talked to them. We chatted about several different ideas that he had, that we had, as far as like what could really, like what kind of compromise could be had here. And eventually because they did eventually bring this back up probably a month or so after we had lunch, it came back before the city council because a lot of people in the city were, I think everybody just assumed that it was going to happen and that so there weren't very many people who had made their opinions known. But then, so it was back on the docket or whatever they call it at the city council. And, they voted on it. And the ordinance that was eventually passed was one of the ones that we had kind of hammered out in that lunch. So, you know, I don't know if that was the genesis of it or not, but it was exactly what we had discussed and kind of thought that would be a good compromise that would kind of fix all the problems that people had with it.
Yeah, so I think first mistake that people make is that they think they can't make an impact, but on your local community, it's usually so small, and the government that affects you the most is so small that you can have a serious impact, and you can have seriously good, decent relationships with the people that you are there with. You can get involved and go to the meetings, and you don't have to be antagonistic. It doesn't sound like you were antagonistic. I think if you had come at it from a perspective of, this is my freedom, gosh darn it, and you're going to give it to me, or I'm going to throw you out of office and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounds like that probably wouldn't have been a winning strategy here.
Well, you know, we approached it from the standpoint of, and we talked about this as, you know, as we were getting ready for it. I mean, I thought about like printing out some articles and showing them to them and being like, hey, you know, this is the benefits of backyard chickens and, you know, stuff like that. We just decided we really needed to kind of get to know who this gentleman was and like what motivates him, what were his actual concerns, what was really going on. And I think that worked out really well. So in other words, we were trying to remember that he's an actual human and not just some avatar for our pent up frustrations, you know?
Right.
And that worked out really, really well for us, which unfortunately not everybody in my town took that kind of a position, because there, and in fact, an entire Facebook group was created, and I want to say that they titled it the chicken crossed the road, duh, any other questions. It was something along those lines. It was really kind of condescending, and these people that were in there were very very passionate and very passionately expressing their opinions about why this was so wrong and why they needed to pass it. And, you know, that just turns people off. You can't work with people when you've got that sort of relationship.
Yeah. And I think I may have actually given you that because you asked my advice. And I was like, just get to know the guy,
right?
Like, just treat him like a human being, because what happens so often is that people want to be, they want to go at it aggressively. They want to go at it through with anger. They think that their emotion is going to sway the other person. What that does is that makes the other person retreat. And mm-hmm. I've just seen state legislators have their minds changed by lobbyists. I've watched lobbyists, and how do they do it? Well, they take them to lunch, and they have a conversation, yep, with them, and they know they have grandkids, yep, and they have a nice, friendly, mm-hmm, cordial relationship. And it's not necessarily corrupt. It's just them saying, I have research that says this is why you should vote this way, and I want you to actually go over this. And I know I'm going to have a better time of getting the information that I want presented if I treat them like a person. And mm-hmm, having been friends with so many local officials over the years, they really resent being treated like they're in Washington, D.C. They're like, I'm out here representing 20,000 people. I'm not, or 3,000 people. I'm not Congress. I'm not the one that is doing X, right, Y, and Z. Like, just talk to me like a person. And I think that applies to your Congress people too. I think, you know, mm-hmm, the radicals who think, oh, I'll oppose them in a restaurant and I'll knock down their front door if they're on Fox News. Like, that's the wrong way to get people to change their mind about things. Like, treating them like a person is how you actually do it. And so I've just watched these lobbyists over the years actually sit down and have conversations with elected officials. And then I've also seen the elected officials and how they react to the radicals. And I think libertarians, as you go out into your local communities, you have to, I mean, it's something that Alinsky always, it's how he kind of convinced the Hillary Clintons and Barack Obamas of the world. He said, you have to drop the radical pose for and adopt a more conservative, like, basically he was saying the revolution will come in suits and not in storming the Bastille here. So, and you see that on the left. And so you have to drop the radical pose for the radical ends. I think that's what the phrase was. But, and I've just seen that libertarians are much more effective, because the majority of libertarians that I've always been around are rational thinking people. They're usually white collar. They're usually people who just have, you know, an interest in making their local community better. And when they actually go and talk to those people, they think, oh, geez, I'm meeting a libertarian. Or did you even say, I'm a libertarian and I want to talk to you? Did you even bring your political?
No, there was really no discussion of like politics beyond. I mean, it wasn't even about politics. It was just about, hey, you know, what's going to make this work? Like, what's going to make everybody, like, what are your concerns and how can we have how can we satisfy all parties here? Like, not, and by party, I don't mean political parties, but just like, how can we solve your concerns and still have our freedom?
Right. And so libertarians, just like, you're normal people. And so go be normal. And because of the Republicans and the Democrats are so entrenched in their tribes and they're so crazy right now, the libertarians always look super rational. And that's why libertarians got appointed to boards, state commissions, local alcohol boards in Indianapolis, because the libertarians were super normal. And so they were like,
isn't that ironic?
Yeah, I know. And so, you know, when it came time for alcohol board commissioners, some libertarians were appointed to it. And zoning commissions, I think it was. So Tim McGuire and Brad Klopfenstein run their local zoning commissions, you know, so they were making zoning choices. And so, yeah, I would just encourage people to do exactly what you did, which is just send an email and say, hey, can we get lunch or can we get dinner or can we meet up at a coffee shop? And, you know, I just want to hear your thoughts on this. I have some thoughts on this and let's see where we can meet in the middle. You don't even need to bring in your party affiliation. Just treat them like people, you know, and bring a cute toddler if you have to.
Yeah, I know. That did work out well. You know, and then what's interesting, like, so we had this really, really, we parted ways with smiles and handshakes, and it was a very good meeting. Now, I have not seen him again since that, but my wife will attend. She's a dentist in town, and so she goes to the local Chamber of Commerce meetings once a month, and she runs into him there very often. And it's funny because now she's got this relationship with him, and so they always chat for a few minutes. So it was making me think later about how, you know, if there's something that's coming up, I mean, she may by him be seen as like a resource in the community that he can turn to and get her opinion about something. Whether it's related to dentistry or not, and then also myself, like he knows that I'm a resource for him as well in the community with these. And so it's that relationship that you build. The thing I've noticed in life that just kills me sometimes, because you can have all the facts and logic on your side, but at the end of the day, what changes, what really people need are, they need those personal relationships. It's all about interpersonal relationships and being able to relate to somebody.
Right. Absolutely. So this is a great story, and I hope that many of you will adopt this in your local community, become an influencer of local politicians. You know, one of the most important things that Libertarian Party candidates do every year is they debate in local forums against their competition. And they, I've seen dozens of libertarian candidates over the years debate their opponents of either party. And they always go, you know, hey, let's keep in touch after this, because, you know, I'd love to pick your brain. And they then become an influencer of that person. Rupert ran for governor against Mike Pence. Mike Pence saw Rupert talking about education that is not college preparatory, what's it called? Vocational training. And so Mike Pence tested it. It tested really well. It was a plank that he ran on. And then Mike Pence eventually instituted more funding for vocational training. And so Rupert got one of his central things passed by the governor. You know, he didn't get any credit, but he didn't care, because
amazing.
He actually changed the state of Indiana because he was talking about something that nobody else was talking about. So being an influence in your local community for liberty, you don't have to run for office. You don't have to do a podcast. You don't have to do anything wild. Just get lunch with the people that are on the town council. So great story, and I appreciate you sharing it with people. Now, I can only assume that because you're on the East Coast, you fled your home because it's overrun with chickens. How many chickens did you end up getting?
They allow us to have as many as four.
All right.
So I've got four freedoms now.
You have four freedoms. That's right. But I guess it's better than no freedoms. And hey, here's the thing. It's progress. And then you can go back a few years later and say, I want more chickens. and nothing bad has happened. There's been no massive chicken casualties, no bird flu in the community.
Yeah. And well, they were really worried about stretching the resources of like police and animal, whatever they call them, humane officers. That was really one of the biggest sticking points. And so, like, but to your point, you know, in 3 or 4 years, when they see that really isn't an issue, you know, they'll probably loosen it up, or there won't be the same justification to prevent something else like this in the future.
Yeah. So here's what you do here in the next couple years: get to know the PIO, the public information officer of whomever is at the police department. They can help you get in contact with animal services. Keep a little stat book or a spreadsheet of chicken-related runs or costs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing
mm-hmm.
it will be almost nothing. And then, you know, send an email, so it's a paper trail. And so you have these emails, and then you can say, listen, I've been tracking this for the last 4 years. There's been no issues with any of the concerns that were there originally. I propose that we take the limit off of the chickens because it's not going to harm anybody, or we raise it to mm-hmm. 25 or whatever the, you know. And so then you really start to see, that's when you start to see changes. And so, you know, people have to have that little, even if you're just getting a taste of freedom, and then to start carving it out, because this is the way that the system works. Like, there's no,
right.
Jason's not going to go down there and overthrow his local town council. You know, he can run against them, but, you know, at the end of the day, you did the right thing. So great work. And I appreciate you being a supporter of We Are Libertarians. And I am very glad that you got 4 freedoms out of it.
Thank you. Yes. And it is just a reminder that the best government is local government.
Yep. That's right. Because you try to get a meeting with your senator, or your house rep. You can actually get a meeting with your town councilor and get to know them and make change. And that's why you want government to be as close to you as humanly possible.
Right.
So you can keep an eye on it.
Exactly.
All right, Jason, thanks so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thanks for telling the story.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.